Hi everyone, welcome to the second episode. Today I will have with me a very special guest, which has also been a great friend over the last few months. He is the founder of National Finance Brokers Day in Australia. He is also a co-host of Perth LinkedIn Success Series, along with Bruno and Janine. But not only that, he also is the initiator of Ubervation, a show that is supposed to bring value into people's life, not only on personal, but on professional levels as well. So I would like to welcome Dino Pacella with me. Hi, Dino. Thank you very much for accepting my invitation today. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you for the kind intro and extremely kind words. You're spot on.
The pleasure is all mine, Dino. It's all mine. You have inspired me over time with your posts because, as I said, you have such an open mind that you spread good vibe and you make people follow you. But talking about following, do you consider yourself to be an influencer?
That word influencer doesn't sit well with me inside. And I suppose I look at it from the aspect of, yeah, I want to influence people, yes, but am I influencing one of these people where I have millions of followers, millions of views, and I can make some real impact in the world? You know, fantastic if we can, but what I want to actually do is I ideally want to just impact one person every single day from a post that I've done. So ideally if I post twice a day in the morning and the evening, if I can hit one person with something positive, inspirational, educational, either from a business or a personal point of view, and I know that that person can walk away or they'll message me going, I saw this, you inspired me to do this, or whatever, you inspired me to reach out to a person which I haven't spoken to before, then that's enough for me. I count that as a huge success. And if you want to put that in an influencer basket, Andretta, then, you know, yeah, we'll take it, but I'll never class myself as an influencer, maybe more as an individual impactor. How's that? I just made that up.
I like that.
Yeah, and I suppose Ubervation came about that. I suppose it's evolved over the last 14 months into how can I make an impact to one person? And even though the official Ubervation video comes out every Wednesday, the post throughout the week is all about the impact that you can leave with somebody. So, yeah, if I can be an impactor for one person each and every day, that's a huge success for me, and that's why I utilize the social media platforms.
That's wonderful. And if there are people not following you right now, why should they follow you?
If you're going to follow me, hopefully you endeavor to get something, and something out of those three things, which is all what Ubervation is about. So whether you're going to get inspired to do something that you've been putting off or you've been wanting to do for a while, if I can give you a little bit of inspiration, even if it's just for 5 minutes for you to make a phone call or get out and see that person, potentially grab the motivation that you need and even the courage to step up and go, why can't I do that? And instead of saying can't, what possibilities are in it for me and other people that I can assist? And the third part of it is, can I educate people in, if they're doing what they want to do, can I help educate them, get better at what they're doing and assist more people? If you can help educate somebody, and again, we talked about it, rather it's from a business or a personal perspective, then you can do that. And I think a perfect example of that was when I went through my divorce 5.5 years ago. It was letting people know that, yeah, so many people go through this these days, but for people that have children in there, that understanding that guilt of not seeing your children 24/7 to all of a sudden maybe only seeing them 50% of the time, is that you can turn that around into an extremely positive factor. And that internal guilt that those parents have, and it's understanding that that will go. And if I can share part of my personal journey and letting people know that you'll be able to get through it, right? Just always challenge yourself when you're in a challenge, when you're in a challenging place, challenge yourself to think, what's next? How do I get past this? Rather than sitting on the floor and hugging yourself, and that's okay to do for a few minutes, but how do you get out of it?
You're right.
And I hope people polemic for that.
And if I remember well, I think the video about your divorce was the first video I ever saw on LinkedIn. And it inspired me because I was in such a gray area of my life. You know, I was struggling with the decision to either get a divorce or not get a divorce. And watching your video was really empowering. And then on the other hand, I also remember your Step Up Into Courage video that you made with Omozwa, another brilliant, brilliant episode. For all my series, I ask people to introduce themselves to the world. Now, in this series, as we're talking about influencers, right? And I want to discover the person behind the influencer. I'd like to please ask you, do you have something in particular that you never shared with anyone on social media?
I think if I cast my mind back and I was, God, I must have been 6 or 7 back then. I can't exactly remember the age, but I had an extremely, a very sweet tooth. So I love the chocolates, I love sugar, along those lines. And it was, I remember one evening my mother was cleaning the drain, and in Australia we called it caustic soda. Around the world, and the drains got stuck, you put that in and you would put water on it and it would bubble. It would really just break down the gunk in the drains.
Right.
And for some reason, my mother got called away and she left it on the sink, and it had no label on it. So I thought, oh, how cool is this? Sugar's container's out for me. I'll grab it and have a teaspoon of it. And for anybody that understands the damage that caustic soda can do to a drain, could you imagine where that started doing to my throat, to
my
inside, let alone it getting to my stomach. So wow. I was extremely sick for a while in hospital. So I suppose I've never shared that. And it's a point where I was fortunate that my parents weren't far away and they rushed me to the emergency ward at the nearest hospital, and doctors did what they did. And I was very fortunate that it didn't get worse and I didn't actually die from it. So I'm always conscious what I put in my mouth. Sweets I actually put in my mouth, but I still have a sweet tooth, but not recently. So yeah, that's probably something I've never shared across social media before.
I appreciate that. And we are also fortunate to have you with us today. I mean, I thank God that nothing happened to you and that, you know, your parents and doctor took the necessary actions very quickly. On a different level, I want to ask you, what is your pet peeve?
It's people being late. So punctuality is huge for me. In anything, okay? So personal work, whatever it is, if somebody says they're going to meet me at 3 o'clock, I'll be there at 10 to 3 and I'll be waiting. So it's something that I endeavor to instill in my daughters, that if they say they're going to be somewhere or they say they're going to do something,
right,
that they do it at the time that they said they're going to actually do to it. And it's, you can say it's all about keeping promises these days, Andrea, but promises are so easily broken these days. It's
right.
Busy, reschedule, or sorry, the traffic was bad. But you know what? Everybody else can stick to a time. So I think you've got to cut out the excuses, cut out the stories that you tell yourself. And if you make a commitment to somebody, you stick through it. So cancelling and punctuality is probably my pet peeves, I would say.
Okay, and I think I get an idea. Why is that? Is it related to self-respect?
Yeah, I think it's respecting the person that you made a commitment to. But it does also go to respecting yourself in the sense that turning up every day. So if you promise 5 people that you're going to meet them that day, that you have enough respect for yourself that your promise and your commitment means something to you.
Right.
As well as to the people that you actually make that commitment to. So not only should you be on time, but you should be able to go there, talk about what you said you're going to talk about and add some value to them, because time is a precious commodity and you don't want to waste your own, let alone other people's.
That is very true. Talking about respecting the others, let me quickly ask you, if you were to choose between judging and labeling a person, which would you choose?
That's a really good question. And it's something that I endeavor not to do, okay, judging or labeling, because assumption 90% of the time is wrong. And I think if people are having a perception or are judging me, I look at it in the sense that, can I create an opportunity where they can speak to me, even if that's for a short period of time, either online or via what we're doing today, mm-hmm. and give people that opportunity, create that opportunity so people can understand your values, your beliefs, what makes you tick. And I think that's important, that you give people the opportunity to learn about them rather than judging or putting a label on people, because it is so easy to judge people these days with the amount of social media and the amount of technology we have available. And we do it on, we watch a reality TV show and we go, God, I absolutely dislike that person because of XYZ, but they could be putting that on for the camera. They could have instructions from the director to behave in a certain way. There could be right. somebody annoying them. Something's happened at home, whatever. But unless you're giving that person the opportunity to say, hey, that was only me because I had a really bad day. My God, something bad could have happened. And you're not allowing that person to say, hey, that's not the real me. This is me. Then I try my best not to judge or label people, as difficult as that may be sometimes. So creating the opportunity to get to know people is what I like to do. Hope that answers that question.
Right, right. And I agree, because I think it's all about understanding the others, right? Instead of, you know, being so quick to judge and place them in a box that they may not fit into.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can't put everybody in the same box, because you have no idea what their challenges are, what they're dealing with in every life, what they've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So they always say never judge a book by its cover, but I suppose never judge a person by what you see online. I suppose.
Oh, that's a fact.
And that's very, very difficult.
But talking about boxes, you brought up a word that is really, really sensitive to me. Talking about boxes, do you think that we as humans should actually box each other and create different boxes in which we should place the others? Or should we rather try to, you know, tear down the walls of a box and look beyond them and, you know, try to be more acceptant to our peers and to people from, you know, different religions or beliefs or orientations? What do you think?
I think we need to be accepting of everybody. Everybody has different cultures, different beliefs, different religions, different political views.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to respect everybody and their views. And not everybody's going to agree with you, and that's okay.
Right.
And you're not agree with everybody. But you know what? That's what makes us fantastic individuals. That's what makes us such a fantastic race. I think the challenge for probably 95% of people is when they're not getting what they want, or mm-hmm. they're not agreeing with somebody, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult not to put that person in that box.
Right.
And all of a sudden not dislike them because they're not agreeing with your beliefs, or they're not agreeing with something that you've done. And we see that, and that's comes from the top all the way down through the bottom. If you want to start labeling governments and countries,
right.
When you see countries disagree, what happens? When you see religions disagree, what happens? There's some huge implications, and that goes well beyond just my views. There's so much to it that everybody needs to be able to break down that barrier and respect other people's beliefs, cultures, religions, anything that we mentioned before. So yeah, absolutely, boxes.
If we touch this kind of subject, I know that I've seen several videos of yours and posts in which you stand up against discrimination and against injustice. You as influencer, how do you manage to inspire people to speak their minds, to take actions against discrimination?
Everybody has a voice, Andrea. So if I inspire people, we go back to the inspirational word, that
mm-hmm.
if you've got something to say, then speak up, say it clearly, say it respectfully, and say it as loud as you possibly can. Right? And if it's in injustice, whether it's gender equality, let's say, for example, and that's probably be a huge one for me, is put yourself in the position, whether it may be your mother, your father, your daughter, your son, your uncle, your auntie, your partner, husband, wife, whatever.
Right.
Put yourself in the position that if that was somebody that you love, that was close to you, that was having that injustice done to them, mm-hmm. how would that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you inspire other people to ensure that they're showing the right level of respect and treating everybody with that same level of respect that they deserve. And that's something that I strongly, strongly teach my girls all the time, whether they're on social media, whether they're on face-to-face with their friends on the weekend or at a party. It's treat everybody with a level of respect. I don't care if they're hanging around people that you potentially don't get along with.
Right.
But if they say hello to you, I mean, take that 2 seconds and say hello back. Have a smile to somebody. Don't belittle anybody. Don't put anybody in a corner and make them feel small.
Right.
Because if they do that, they know their father's going to come down on them like a ton of bricks. Because if someone did that to them, I wouldn't actually be too happy, and I'll actually be standing up and having their back on them. So I expect them to be a role model for that and be a better class of person and ensure that other people follow suit. So if it's okay to stand out from the crowd and tell even your friends, if you think that they're not doing something right to somebody, to stand up and say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. I don't think that's right. And if I can inspire people to do that, and get out from underneath the shadows of other people and not follow the status quo, then you need to do that. And yeah, gender equality is a huge one at the moment, but it shouldn't be. We shouldn't be talking about it as much. Bloody 2018 and we're still talking about different rights for females and males. To me, that's just ridiculous, right? We're all humans, and I don't understand why it's not all the same.
Ridiculous it is indeed, right? Because, you know, there's still so many examples of injustice, but if you, you know, there are people that find their voices harder, or people that are not able to actually speak their truth. For this kind of situation, what would you advise those people? Because they may be afraid of the consequences. They may have, you know, buried this stigma all their lives, and now coming clean with it would be, you know, let's say a hit in their ego or something, that they're afraid of judgment, right? They're afraid of people not seeing them in any other way. But what would be the message that you would like to send them to empower them?
Yeah. Look, if you need that support network to build that courage to be able to express your views and speak loudly, Get that circle of influence. Get those circle, the people that belong to your circle of trust, and allow them to support you in your endeavors to speak about whatever you want, right?
And
speak about your beliefs. So whether that's a handful of close friends, getting them and say, listen, I want to do this. Will you support me? And I'm guessing if you're asking that type of question to the right people, you would hope that they would support you. Otherwise, you're probably hanging around the wrong people. So get the support, build up the courage by external support from your friends and your loved ones to say, hey, you can do that. You are encouragement enough. And I suppose if you utilize social media, and if we put that influencer word back out there again, Andrea, these people should be using, you can call it a power if you want, but they should be utilizing it for the good and being able to, hey, listen, I can do it. I'm no different than you, right? I've got a head and two arms and a heartbeat. You got a head, two arms and a heartbeat. Why can't you do it?
True, that's correct.
What makes you any different to me? Nothing.
That's right. And if we're thinking about it, I've seen videos, really empowering videos of TEDx talks with people that were lacking an arm or both legs or both arms. And I recently saw a show on TV with a guy that went into a marathon and got through it, even though he was missing both of his legs. There were obstacles, and that man took each and every obstacle. He never went around it. He did exactly the same thing as all the other participants. So I totally agree with you that if he could do it, and people that are disabled of some stage, then I'm sure that everyone that it's not that has issues in speaking up can do it further on. I reckon that you are not really fond of the word influence. But let's say, what does making an impact to someone's life mean to you?
Making someone's life better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I always talk about making a difference to one person each and every day. And that's not, God, that's not giving somebody $100 every day.
Right.
That could be, you know, there could be, you notice a work colleague that's having a really bad day and they're a bit down. It's actually just going up to them and going, hey, what's wrong? Do you want to have a 5-minute talk about something? It could be you're catching public transport and you jump onto a bus and you actually say to the bus driver, thank you so much for actually taking everybody around, let alone me today.
Mm-hmm. That's really little thing.
Yeah, I think it's little things that 99% of people don't do these days is actually going out of your way to do it. And I'm very fortunate that with my partner that she does that probably even better than what I do. And she has a natural gift for it. Mm-hmm. And a great example was last year we were on a flight from Perth to Brisbane. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting on, they had three seats and then the aisle and three seats. So it was just a 737 plane. And we were both sitting on the aisles. And she was sitting near two young boys. I think they were probably about 6 and 8. And the boys were going to Brisbane to see their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner, for a 5.5-hour flight, sat there and entertained these two young boys as
wow.
10 years. Now, that's extremely difficult to do, let alone when you're on a flight and these boys are playing up, they want to draw, they want to watch their iPads.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw was not only that she was helping these two young boys, but the stewardess actually came past and was giving my partner a bottle of wine to mm-hmm. say thank you, because she was helping not only the boys, but she was helping the stewardess
right.
create further time to look after the rest of the passengers rather than managing these two young boys and ensuring that they were okay on this 5.5-hour flight. So I think that stays with me a lot. When if my partner can do that for 5.5 hours, I'm sure I can do 5 minutes every single day. So wow. she's an amazing woman. So I get a lot of inspiration from her. So I'm quite lucky.
Well, from your story, she definitely is. I mean, yeah. You
What's
know, I'm not sure how many people would take their time to just go and entertain two kids, for God's sake. I mean, we're talking about kids, which, as you said, are really hard to get entertained. And especially these days when, you know, electronics are all over the place and kids like them. Kids love them. But yeah, it's wow. That's a wonderful story. I imagine that if I were to ask you about a person that you consider as being an influencer or an impactor, you would go for your partner because of the story that he told you, right?
I think it probably goes beyond just the story, Andrea. Like she actually works in the disability services or disability
wow.
industry.
Wow. Okay, I got it.
So her job is, she has clients where she gets them out of their homes and gets them into the community around things that they want to do. So mm-hmm. something that they want to learn. So a couple of her clients are wanting to learn how to paint and set mm-hmm. up social media pages and share their artwork. One wants to learn how to cook. Mm-hmm. So she's got special equipment, and I'm lucky she's a fantastic cook, but she gets this special equipment and teaches them certain recipes that they could do. And encourage them to do that, gets them out to do acting classes. And I've seen them with these clients, and she, as I talk about treating everybody with the same level of respect, I mean, she does that with, she makes it look easy. And I suppose I shouldn't say that, because it shouldn't be easy. It should just be normal, right?
Right.
But she does it as if it's, and she talks about some of the challenges that her clients have. And when she comes home and she mentions that, it's just like, it puts my day into perspective. It's like, wow, you've done that and you're dealing with people with real challenges in the world, let alone me that I'm complaining because somebody's 5 minutes late to a meeting.
Right, right. That's admirable. I mean, it's interesting to see my own reaction right now, because we shouldn't be, you know, so we as humans should see kindness as a natural thing and not be, you know, overwhelmed when hearing such a story or going into awe so much just because we learn about a person that is so kind. This says a lot about us as people as well, right? Because at some point, I think we may be craving for what we never had, and we are trying to project over others values that we maybe would have wanted at some point in time to have been projected over us. What do you think about it? Do you agree with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's about having the right people, and I think I'm thinking more and more about it, and I'm very extremely fortunate.
You are.
I am. I have that. Yeah, I am, and I think I wake up every morning and I think about that. You know, it's like as well as what I see her do, it's how much of an impact then I actually bring to others. So, yeah, I always want to do more. And if I look at inspirational people around me, and there's a handful of people that I know that do that and can do it well and can do it selflessly,
right,
and make it look extremely easy. But how many people actually do it and go there with a smile on their face and come home with a smile on their face, knowing that doesn't matter how challenging the situation may be, that they know that they've made an impact. And so that impact, it doesn't need to be huge. It can be 1%. It doesn't always need to be
100%. Right. I like that. I mean, coming back with a smile from work, it's something really rare these days, isn't it?
Sees it as work. I think she just sees it as her helping people.
Yeah. So keeping things a bit on the same page, I understand that you having the partner that you do probably are getting involved in several activities that support humanitarian causes. Or if not, it was just a thought, you know, just a thought. But let's imagine that you could, you know, have all the options on the table. And why would that be? And how would you choose to support that cause?
So many things I feel strongly about. And I suppose if I look back at around gender equality would probably be one. And that would probably be my top one because of having young girls as well as a partner. And I know close female friends who, you could say harassed and have been treated just because they're a female.
Wow.
So that really pisses me off.
Okay.
My language. That if I bloody see a male doing that, you guarantee you're gonna have a hard time from me.
If I remember well, that was your video about the Be Better challenge movement that you initiated at some point.
It was. It was a good friend of mine who was due to have a fantastic week and was actually spoiled by one absolute moronic male on what he thought was okay.
Yeah,
that's, and it's not. And I understand we've been plastered with this all across the media for the last couple of years, particularly stuff going on in the US, and there's been celebrities coming out left, right and center, but it shouldn't actually take, we listen to the celebrities because they get the media, they get the publicity around it.
Right.
But I think if, until it actually happens to somebody that you're aware of, you don't understand the full implications of it. Like just now in Australia, Andrea, we're seeing ads done by the local government around, it's starting from the beginning. It's starting from the home around. There's a boy and a girl in a car that's come home from school, and the boy got in trouble because he did something to a girl at school, and the father was like joking it off. And then the girl said it, and it sort of switched the father's mentality around it because it happened to his daughter. And we're seeing these type of ads come out now. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's great. Is it really making a huge impact? Maybe we need to have more, we'll go back to the influencer word, maybe we need more of these people actually standing up and making a real impact. And I think the only real impact you can do is actually saying, well, is there enough consequences for somebody's actions when they misbehave in that way? And whether they treat a male or a female. And I'm not saying it's only males that do it to females, there's females that do it to males.
That's correct. Right?
So it's on the both sides of the coin here. But I think you've got to have some real consequences. And until people understand and make them second guess themselves, going, hold on, that thought shouldn't be coming into my mind, and I definitely shouldn't be acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And changing the way people think. And I'm sure we will get there, but it's going to be a long, sometimes painful road. But I know I'll do my bit, and I hope I actually don't catch anybody doing it, because I might get in trouble myself with some of the actions because I'm so passionate. But I'm sure we will get there. So that's some change that I would like to do. And mm-hmm. I'll probably continue speaking my voice across social media about that. And we get a lot of support when we put stuff out there like that. And there's a lot of people that have the flip side to it, but that's okay.
Okay.
Because not everyone's going to agree with you.
So. Okay. I have two questions here that are related, and I'm afraid of losing them. So the first question is in Australia, where you are right now in the teaching system, is there any class that prevents bullying, that teaches kids who may have a different environment at home and they may be seeing, some violence, unfortunately, or something like that, how to treat other people in order to prevent bullying?
It's a good question. And I'm not 100% certain on the correct answer there, Andrea, if there's actually specific classes for that, but a lot of schools across Australia will have counsellors in there. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they become aware of those situations, they do deal with it. And they do deal with it well enough in regards to actually speaking to the child. If they need to get parents in there, other industry professional services, then they deal with it quite well. So yes, it's more prominent now than potentially when I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think social media is playing a huge part on that as well, because no longer can people be bullied and harassed in the playground during 9 till 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. People can be harassed bloody sitting at the couch watching TV with a phone in their hand.
Right.
So I think it's such a wide demographic, and schools are aware of this, and they are aware of the online bullying aspect. And I know my daughter's school, they actually run after hours education classes where you're encouraged to attend with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they have professors talking around the implications of social media, the implication of how to actually deal with somebody, what other services there are out in case you encounter that. So I suppose the answer is yes. I don't know it to the full extent across all other schools. So, yeah, it's something that I probably might even actually look into. So, yeah, thanks for the question.
My pleasure. That's definitely one thing that I would like to see implemented in the country I'm in right now. Because, I mean, we're making progress. People start to understand the effect of bullying between people, between kids. But, on government side, there's nothing in place, actually. And, you telling me that there's something at least similar, something at least, touching this area in some way, gives me the hope that there's still a future that can be brighter for our kids. Because if we're looking at, people that unfortunately do crimes or any kind of injustice, all this comes from childhood, right? So if you're not treated, if you don't get the attention that you want, because that's one of the core reasons, right? You're doing whatever you can just to get the attention of other people, right? But in this way, if we can, or the government or the teaching institutions could implement this all over the world, I think that there would still be a hope that the future would be brighter a bit.
Absolutely.
Now, the second question was related to the previous question, to your cause. The second question was, why do we find that we need to somehow relate to a cause just through the filter of not seeing a person who's really close to us getting, being abused in that kind of way? I mean, you know, we're talking kindness and things like that. But on the other hand, we're also looking at equality and equity between people. But however, if the person next to us, who is the closest to us, gets something, gets affected, the impact is really, you know, exponentially grows than if we see a star facing this kind of situation. But in the at the end of the day, even the stars, even though they have all the money in the world, they're still people and sometimes they're lonely. So what can we do to kind of, you know, widen up this perception of not caring so very much just for the people that are so close to us, but for everyone?
That's a big question, right? And I think it's ensuring that you can endeavor to make that impact to as many people as you possibly can. And utilizing, having the right mindset around social media to say, well, if I'm going to do that, mm-hmm. can I get it out there? Can I get enough people behind me to share the why on why I want to do it? That sentence makes sense, or the purpose around why I actually want to do it. And getting some traction built up of it. It might be even taking that offline. So I talk a lot about social media on it, but there's stuff that you can do offline. There might be, if you're educating yourself around a lot of gender equality or a lot of causes that may be close to you, it might be going out to schools and saying, hey, I can do this presentation. Can mm-hmm. I come and do it? Or can I do it after school? Can I hold a seminar on it? Can I go into a workplace and help educate people on it? So
That's a really nice.
But yeah, sometimes I think people think too big, and it's great to think big and say you want to actually make an impact around your country or around the world. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we need to start something small and build it from there, not the other way around, because that can become extremely challenging and extremely frustrating. And that is how people throw their hands in the air and go, oh, I've had enough, I want to quit. But if you started off small and build on it each and every day, make that impact to one person, as I always say, get them to join your cause, get another person, and have this whole halo effect that grows throughout the community, mm-hmm. then I think that's how you can inspire people and help educate, because people want to get behind something that they believe in.
Right.
That's how movements are caused. That's how anything happens. That's how change happens. So I speak about what you believe in, get people behind you, and endeavor to make change. But it all starts from an idea, that you need to put that idea into action and be committed about it. Andretta, I think people come up with so many ideas, but the commitment and the follow through goes away when it becomes challenging.
We talked about causes. We talked about how we can influence people or impact, make an impact on people to see kindness from a different perspective. But if you had all the money in the world, how would you choose to use your influence?
If I want to make some change, and if I want to make whatever it is, I would have to go, well, if I'm going to get the right people involved, how do I make actually change with having infinite amount of money in the world? Yes, I can get on TV and I can promote the cause. Does having enough people behind me create the right type of change that you're looking at? Or does it just create something that trends for 2 weeks and then it dies off?
Mm-hmm.
Having the infinite amount of money, can I get in front of decision makers? And if we're talking about governments here, or we're talking about influential entrepreneurs or whatever it may be, is getting those other people on board and creating change from the top down. So I think there's a difference on how you can actually make that change. If you're trying to push it, and we're talking that you tell me I've got infinite amount of money here, right? So if I'm trying to push change up from the bottom, that becomes extremely difficult and very, very heavy to manage.
Exactly.
But if I scoot to the top and make the change, then I can actually trickle it down to everybody. So governments across the world, if I had that much money and I wanted to make change on gender equality and I wanted accountability to match the consequences, then, you know, I'd get an hour-long speaking gig at the next UN summit and I would sit there and represent the world, let alone Australia. And I would say, this is what we're doing. And
right.
I would have and I would have the president and the prime minister, and I would have the 10 most influential business people sitting right behind me going, we're backing you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you had enough power to do that, yeah, it's great. But and having them enough money to do that, fantastic. But should we be able, should change just happen just because you have money? So there's so many sides to that question, Andretta, but I've answered it just on what you've given me. I won't go off on a tangent because I'll probably be here for another 10 minutes.
It's interesting because that's one of the business principles, right? Going from the top down and making a culture work from the top to the bottom. Is this correct? I mean, do you think that from what I learned from the business series that I'm running and from different posts on this platform and real life as well, CEOs should be the ones to influence people downwards. And afterwards, you know, when getting to the lower level, just because we call it the lower level, that doesn't mean that people are less valuable, but and when getting to the people that are doing, you know, those repetitive tasks in everyday huge amount of work, then only then we can make a change, right? And we can make our business profitable. So what is your take on the business side? If you were the CEO of a company, how would you influence the entire system in your company? What would be the first thing that you would like to have implemented into your company?
I think you need to care about the people that are working in the company,
mm-hmm.
and care about them as humans, mm-hmm. not just about numbers that are actually generating a revenue for the company.
I like that.
And that starts from, yeah, it starts from the CEO, mm-hmm. and it filters down to his execs and the board, and that filters through to regional managers, area managers, all the way through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's you need people on the bus for the right journey, and wherever you're heading on that bus, you're ensuring you've got the right people on there. So I think identifying if you have got the right people, if not, they might need to get off at the next bus stop and find an alternative route to get to where you want them to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And displaying it, leading from the front, showing that, you know, I'm maybe the CEO of this company, but I want this company to stand for X, Y, and Z. And this is what I'm going to do that. And I'm going to care about your actions and how you do that, and ensuring that when you're not coming to work just to get a pay packet every week or every fortnight, you're actually coming to work because you're understanding in the vision and the motto of this company that we can make a difference to our customers and whatever business that may be.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that is now so easily seen by people when it's not genuine, is they understand leaders when they're not genuine, and people will, and we read so many about it, people will actually leave jobs. There's a high percentage of people leaving jobs because of their leaders or their managers not actually caring about their own development and them as a person, rather than actually leaving a company. So people mm-hmm. will join another company because they believe in what the leader is, the way and the culture that they've developed there. And I know to me that my leader treats everybody in his team as humans. Your conversation that you may have with them every few days is half of it is all about what's happening in your life, how they can make it better. Have you got the right arrangements in place at work, at home, to make your work the mm-hmm. most productive it can be? It's not the other way around.
Right.
That's probably why my latest company for the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But caring about the people, ensuring that you're actually treating people as humans and understanding that people are humans. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to learn different things and in different ways. And I think if people can understand that,
mm-hmm.
then I think that's a basis to form a good culture.
So do you think that a company, right, a business, should also have this kind of culture involved, this aspect involved, you know, to pay attention to how people feel, right? And to receive constant feedback and accept it, because if you receive feedback and you don't accept it, then there's no use.
I always look at it, Andretta, that a quick answer to that question is not having a work-life balance, but having a holistic view on how you actually operate your life and ensuring your personal, your business, your education, whatever it may be, all encompasses into the one. So right. You're not juggling five or six balls. You may be just juggling one.
And I like
one
that.
is encompassed in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really difficult for people to get a head around. People want to leave work at work or want to leave their home problems at home. But mm-hmm. if something's extremely challenging has happened at home, it's going to affect you. You can't always go into work and have a professional face on. If you're dealing with clients, yeah, you can be that professional that you can sort of put it aside for an hour. But we are human. Outside of that, you need people where you can count on, and you should be able to go to a leader and have an honest conversation. Say, listen, this has happened. I need some guidance. Well, this has happened. Well, what do you think I should do? And I think that is where a strong culture is formed. It's all about being comfortable and having the well-being and ensuring your well-being and your wellness is the same for the business that you're actually working in. And if companies understand that your wellness is just as important as the revenue that you're generating for that business, then you're going to stay there a hell of a lot longer than another company that may only see you as a revenue generator.
So you've touched some sensitive points that I totally agree with, because I've witnessed a few of them. Keeping it on the business level, what is National Finance Brokers Day? What's the purpose? What's the message? And how did you come up with the idea of creating something that maybe people might not have accepted, but you are so passionate about that you put it out there? So what's the story behind it?
The National Finance Brokers Day all started because I work with finance brokers, mortgage brokers in Australia, which play a huge part in getting people into homes, upgrading their homes, building wealth portfolios, whatever it may be. And I've been in my current role now for 5 years. So when I did start, I was learning a lot about the industry. I was doing a lot of Google searches, and there wasn't a lot of positive stories around the success finance brokers are having in the marketplace for consumers. And I thought, well, we need some more education about what these professionals do. We need some more awareness built throughout the market in Australia, let alone just in Perth, where I'm on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we do that? So I reached out. We have two industry bodies in Australia that all brokers need to be a member of.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to them with this idea going, hey, we can have an official day every year, but how do we continue building the momentum throughout the year? So to get the best outcome for somebody who's looking at potentially maybe buying their first home or looking at purchasing an investment property, or they find themselves in a difficult situation with a loan they have, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
but understanding how to actually get the right advice, how to get the right guidance to ensure they get the best structure and the best outcome. And I strongly believe having brokers in Australia do that, because they have a wide variety of options that they could do
mm-hmm.
and they can select from and they can present to. They've got so many experts around them that they can talk to go and find out solutions for their customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the consumer market to understand that there are options. It's not just so much of, hey, it's just a broker getting you a loan to buy a house. It's you're actually wanting a dream to own your own home, if that's the dream. And how do you actually get a professional to take you on that journey? Mm-hmm. And then how do you actually get the professional to stay with you on that journey, and vice versa? How does a professional stay with you on that journey after you've actually moved into that place? So there's a lot to it rather than just doing an application.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about a relationship and that journey service. So that's a really long-winded answer on how I came up around National Finance Brokers Day. But I had the right people, got a fantastic support network around it. There's a very influential gentleman in Australia in the finance industry who supports me every year. And he does that purely because he believes in the message that I want to spread. And
wow, that's so nice of you.
Yeah, I don't monetize it, so I don't make any money out of it. I do it because I have a passion and I believe in it. And he joins me because he understands that. He understands that I'm not utilizing his reputation and his brand to make me money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm utilizing him to spread the message to the consumer market. And it's growing, and there's a lot more work, but it's been going for three years now. So it's getting bigger and bigger every year, as I mentioned. It's all about starting with that small idea and getting actions into place every single year and making it bigger and bigger. So it all takes time, but I suppose with passion, you invest the time into it to ensure it's a success.
I'm really happy to see two brilliant minds joining forces to actually go and, you know, try to change the world and change at least one perspective at a time in regards to something that it's actually critical for every person, right? Because we all have the right to have a home. And if we want to make it our own, we definitely need the proper guidance. So I'm really happy that this is spreading and expanding and, you know, to see it growing over time. Only 3 years, I'm sure that in 10 years, that would be, you know, spread all over Australia, and meaning that people will believe in it and people will want to take part in it.
I've seen America has a National Mortgage Broker Day now. Mm-hmm. I think they had their first one this year, and I'm endeavouring to contact those people to find out how they actually came up with that. Potentially we can maybe do an international day in a few years' time. But we'll get Australia perfect, or as close to perfect as possible, and then we'll branch that out, because America's quite big on it, as well as the UK.
What would be the best advice, the strongest advice, or the most important lesson that you learned over the years and that you would like to tell the people to empower them for the day or for the future? Who knows?
I'll utilize the analogy that and you've probably seen this across social media, that I've come to fruition in the last couple of years, that I use as much as I can do around flipping the M in the me. So, Andrea, I don't know.
Yes, I like that.
It's creating that we factor and making sure that as much as you can do is all about us. It's not always what's in it for you. And I suppose that comes along with a personal brand. And I suppose that I flipped that switch around working on a brand that encompasses what I could do for other people instead of just showcasing my own area of expertise. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot to do that. It took people's perceptions, people's judgment, people labeling me, for me to actually look at it and go, well, maybe there is a basis there that I actually need to listen to that feedback. They've given me the opportunity to grow from that. And yeah, I'll concentrate now on flipping the M, and we concentrate on the week. So if you do it for the right reasons, go out and do it. Everybody needs to start somewhere. My daughter's karate sensei always used to say, a black belt was always a white belt that was in training, right? So start from somewhere. Everybody does.
That's a marvelous message. Thank you. Thank you again so very much for joining me today, Dino. And I wish you have a marvelous evening.
Wonderful. Thanks, Joanna. Lovely speaking to you and spending time with you. Thank you so much.